Okay, welcome everybody, especially those who are here in Stellenbosch for the first time, if you're a first year. This is a great church to belong to. Can somebody say amen? Woo! Okay. And we trust you're going to really enjoy it with us. There are lots of people here, but that does not mean that you are not special to us. If you would love, if you'd like to belong to a small group, we've got about 120 small groups here in on the campus. Or maybe 100, I don't know, between 100 and 120 somewhere. Always changes when some of the seniors go away. We would love you to slot into a small group. That little card, please don't forget to fill it in. Maybe leave it there at the info desk if you forgot to fill it in. Because right from the start, you need the right friends. And there are lots of friends and family here that would like to welcome you and just say hi. En ons praat baie Afrikaners, vanaam vir die Afrikaans, vanaam vir die Vrystaters. Okay? Waar is al die Vrystaters? You know, the only reason why we preach in English is because there are lots of people that don't understand Afrikaans, and we just want to give them the opportunity as well. Maar ons hou van Afrikaans. Ek het eendag 'n Afrikaanse grappie by 'n troue gemaak, en toe na die tyd kom hier die grootste Vrystaat oomie na my toe en hy sê, "Boetman, ons in die Vrystaat praat Afrikaans. Moenie daai soutie taal hier gebruik nie." Sê ek, "Halleluja. Jesus, bring the rapture very soon," because it was very big. Okay, and the only problem is my wife and I, Louise, we were sitting at his table for the rest of the evening, so it wasn't a good wedding for the rest of the day, because they were just Free-Staters all over the place, and they use English for self-defense. But in any case, so welcome everybody. Do you know when we come to a place like this, and especially when you come for the first time, when some of you have come back from the holidays, we sometimes tend to come in here. Some of you may didn't even want to be here, because you just think of all the bad stuff that you've done. You just think I was like a vegetable in front of the television. There were a holiday, you know, I just checked the chicks on the beach or some stuff like that. And sometimes we begin to, am I allowed to say chicks? Dudines, dudina, whatever, what do you call it? Girls, what do you want? No, okay, let's not say chicks. We sometimes come to a place where we, even when we are unfaithful, we must know that God has never changed. And there were three words that God used, probably the most profound three words ever spoken on the face of the earth. All of creation was made for this one moment, when these three words would be uttered, that would change the destiny of nations. You and I are sitting here tonight because of those three words. We have an ability to stand before God, not be judged and be struck dead because of those three words. And right from the book of John, at the beginning of John, scripture says that Jesus came into this world for 1 hour. Did you know there was 33 years that he waited for one moment? One moment that would change life and would change eternity. And imagine I say to you tonight that you are going to live 45 years, around about 45 years, but there's going to be a moment in your life, one moment where you either can miss it or you can make it. And everything in scripture, everything aligns and goes up to that one moment. And it's going to be quite a lot of pressure on you. Would you agree with me? You just think whoa, am I going to miss it? Am I not going to miss it? What am I going to say? You know, is it like this one moment, you know? And I want to talk just very shortly about these three words that Jesus used. And it's very simple. It's the word tetelestai, which means it is finished. Okay, I want you to say it. It is finished. Okay, profound words that Jesus uttered and said in John chapter 19, verse 30. He said, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." You know, not a lot of people can say these words. Not a lot of people in their life. Many people, if you go through life, they would ask two questions. They would say, "Who am I and why am I here?" Do you know, if those questions are answered, I think most people would not do half of the things that they are doing, you know. Many people would strive for things. Like for me, I was at school and I was playing every sport that you can think of, striving to get acceptance, striving to be somebody. So I studied hard, I did everything, always performance driven, because I wanted to know this answer: who am I and why am I here? And then one day, on the 4th of April, 1989, Jesus Christ walked into my life, and then he said, Sias, I am going to make you somebody. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to show you who you are, and I'm going to tell you why you are here. And so when we come to God, when we sit before him tonight, and when you start maybe as a first year, and you start this place of where you want to be somebody, become somebody, and now you're thinking like, ooh, am I going to make this degree, you know, that one, then some people, you see, lots of people are driven for many things. Lots of people try to find significance. I studied BREC, and when I went to work as a financial manager, I had 18 people under me, and I told the Indrach people this morning, you know, I walked in there, and I was the boss, you know. I was like thinking like, I'm going to tell these people what they must do. I'll never forget it. We had this industrial stapler, you know, with this thick pack of papers, and I was standing there, and the people were all standing in the office, and I was just thinking, well, I'm going to do it because I'm going to show them that I'm a servant, you know. At least, you know, I'm not going to boss them around, but I'm sort of, you know, I've got a degree, you know, and some of these people, they don't. So I slammed the piece of paper with that big, thick stapler, and I struck the staple right through my finger with the stapling and the paper, blood dripping down my finger, and I'm going like this, and I run to the toilet, and I say, oh, I know nothing, I can't even staple, you know. And then you go out with this, yeah. It's amazing when you start to think that these things are going to sort of add value to your life. And I want to talk about this because Jesus did something. Jesus painted a picture. Jesus came to complete a picture, just like that piece of artwork. Now I want to warn you, this artwork was given to my wife and I, Louise, and we sort of, it was hidden for a long time because it's not the most beautiful artwork, but it was made with love, okay? So don't laugh. But I think it's Zulu huts. Anybody from Natal, yeah? Oh, all the Natalis, okay. But so this person, when she made this artwork, now she's in heaven now, so I can do lots of things. I just tell you that she's not around anymore. That's why I can do this tonight. But in any case, so she obviously saw a vision. She saw a picture. She saw something. She had to see a picture. She cannot just start to draw and then think like, oh, that's it. And we're going to, she had to see the whole picture at the end. Now, if I come along and I say, whoa, this is beautiful, but there's something missing. Do you know what is missing? Some birdies, okay? I always wanted to, you know. Can you see it? The birdies never fly just alone. It's then eagles, but that's like, let's make it two. They always fly like in threesomes. Do you know that? It's beautiful, eh? Can you see that? Okay, so I always wanted to be an artist, and my teacher threw me out of the choir when I was in grade 5. And there's a stock maniki. There's somebody missing over there. Can you see that? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Beautiful, okay. So what we want to do sometimes is we've got this picture, then we come to God and we sort of say to God, do you know what, that maybe is not enough. I want to sort of add a little bit. What do you think is missing as well? It's like there's a little housey missing and all that stuff, and we go for that. But it's beautiful, okay. That's my artwork. Come on, give me a round of applause there. That's okay. Thank you very much. Okay, so so what we do is we come and we think that we can add something to God. Did you know that we can't add something to God's purpose? We cannot add something to God himself. Our worship, our prayer doesn't change God. Do you know that God has got a perfect plan? He's got a purpose in the earth. And so the moment when you and I try to add something to God, like we see many people teach wrong stuff, many people teach other stuff, people take away the gospel and they say, no, little bits of the gospel. No, that's not true. Jesus doesn't do healings anymore. No, that isn't. Let's try to fit Jesus into our picture because we would like to make the picture in the way that we think is good and nice for us. Do you know how many times we do that with God? I remember meeting a guy who was praying in Uganda for the change of the nation. And one morning, the Lord spoke to him audibly. His name is John. And the Lord said to him, John, why do you think that I need counseling? Do you think I need people to tell me what I must do? And he said, no, Lord, you are like awesome. You've got like the universe in the palm of your hand. Lord, you are like awesome. You're big, Lord. You don't need counsel. Then the Lord asked him a second time again, and he said it the same again. And the Lord asked the third time again, and then he realized he must be quiet. Because if God asks you a couple of questions over and over, and you give an answer, then it means you gave the wrong answer. Otherwise, he would have stopped. Would you agree? So after the third one, he just was silent. And then the Lord spoke to John, and he said, John, why do every time when you come to me, you tell me what I must do, how I must do it, and when I must do it? Lord, if you don't bless me now, I'm not going to serve you anymore. God, if you don't do this now, if you don't bring a breakthrough now. And then what we do is we try to add to the finished work of Christ. Because there's a place, there's a place of rest, there's a place of peace, there's a place where you and I can enter in and we can understand that we have this fullness of life. There's a place where we don't need to add to what God has given us. Because His picture is perfect. Okay, now this is like water paint. Ta-da! Okay, just... This morning, I had some of the older people really freaking out when they said, what about the artist? I said, the artist is dead. I said, what about the heart? The person has put everything. I said, no, don't worry, don't worry. She's in heaven, okay? She doesn't care about the painting anymore. But we're going to talk about this a little bit later because, you know, when you come here over this time, and especially if you're first here, do you know what? You can come into the picture of God. You can come into the finished work of God. But that means that you need to step out of another world. A world called self, a world called I am in control, a world called I'm going to determine my identity by the people that I know and the things that I know. And there's another world that says it's in Christ, where Christ comes to live inside of you. And Christ comes to live, he says, you've got everything that pertains to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. There's a place and a position where you have a right to begin to stand before God, not as a slave, but as a child of God. And that is a place of complete freedom. It's quite a scary place because you're not in control. This one place is you want to paint the picture, and this other place is God says He's already finished the work. And that is the challenge, because especially for us that love to have a set of rules and we love to play religion around God, we fall into a massive trap because we say, God, do this, point one, point two, point three. Do you know most religions in the world works and lives by rules? By survival. If you're a Hindu here tonight, you know what? You are not secure as to, and you don't know whether you're going to go to heaven or not. It's as very simple as that. You just every morning you go out in front of your little house and you put all the flowers there and you say, well, I just want to keep the gods happy so that when I come back in my next life, I'm maybe going to be a better person. If I'm good enough, then, but I'm not really sure. If you're a Muslim here tonight, and I'm speaking with lots of respect, you know, then you say like, oh, okay, now I don't really know whether there is a heaven or whether I'm going to go to heaven except if I am a suicide bomber. If you're a religious Christian, you're going to come to church every Sunday and you're going to say, well, through the set of rules or through the things that I do, through lots of trying to get this little blackboard, get more right marks and things than the wrong marks, and God is so sin conscious because He's this God with a stick up there, you can't have life. Because there's a place where God wants something of the heart. Okay, are you with me tonight? Okay, show them that little clip, will you, of the identity. And then we're going to go on. Are you still all awake? Just shake somebody next to you and say, Khona machantas. Okay, that's not foreign tongues or Zulu or anything like that. That is just like a new word you're going to learn here. Okay.
Who am I? Am I what I do? An artist? An accountant? A teacher? A mother? Or am I what I've achieved? An honor student? An MVP? A winner? Am I the things I've done right? Or am I defined by the things I've done wrong? Am I a saint? A sinner? What about what others think of me? Am I all of these things? None of these things? Who am I? How I identify myself determines how I approach life. If I am what I do, I'll always need to do more and achieve more to find my value. If I am what others say, I'll always try to please people instead of my Heavenly Father. But if I listen to who God says I am and embrace His identity in me, I'll find the freedom to live out all He has planned for me. God calls me His child. He says, I am wise and restored, that I'm a brand new creation in Christ. I am chosen and holy and blameless before God. He calls me his masterpiece. I am loved by God. He says I am made complete through the grace and mercy of Jesus, my Savior. And when I see myself the way God sees me, I walk with confidence because I trust the one who answers the question, who am I?
Cool. Okay, so the question is, how do I enter into this life? How do I enter into this place of standing under that place where Jesus says over your life, over my life, it is finished. It is completed. That finish includes a lot of things. It includes complete forgiveness. It includes complete freedom. It includes the place where you don't live like the world does, but you live because there's a new set of life and standards of holiness before God. There's a place where you don't need to conform to things and the pressure and the peer pressures of people around you. And how we know that is very simple, is we need to go to Scripture. And the first Scripture I want to read to us is found in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. Because everything in this life will cost you something. Did you know that? Nothing comes without a price. Everything that we want to do, there's a price. Even salvation. Salvation is free, but it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you to walk away from this old lifestyle and this old place, and you have to embrace God's way of doing. The moment when you're still in control, then what happens is you can't access that place because you're still the God of your life, okay? So here's the Scripture. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. It says there are lots of people and they're just walking through this life aimlessly. Do you know if people, if you're going somewhere and you haven't got a clue where you're going, it's just like, you gaan maar net ergens heen and you gaan maar net just go with the flow, you know? You're like Mr. Bean. You know, and I realize, ooh, go that way, you know? So lots of people just flow where the rest go. And Scripture says those people have like aimless conduct. What they're doing is just, it means nothing. Because especially in the cultures and the places that we grow up with the tradition from our fathers, with people that grow around us, many times they impart those things to us. He says, but you are not bought with those things. Money cannot buy eternal riches and spiritual riches. There's nothing you can naturally place on the table to be able to access this position in Christ. This place where there's life in abundance, where the heavens begins to open up and you can have a relationship with this God. He says, now you have been paid with a price, and that price is the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were redeemed. If I walk into this place tonight and I say, look here, I paid for something. If I go to the shop and I take something, you know, and I've not paid for it, I'm a thief. But if I've paid for it, if there was an exchange, I become the owner of that thing. Would you agree? Okay, most of you, the clothes that you wear, your parents paid for it. Maybe, you know, you didn't pay for it, but there are some working people here, you know, you paid for something. Just ask all the working people, that first salary. You just think like, whoa, first salary, rent, everything. At the end of the month, you stand in front of your mother's house and you say, I'm hungry, okay? Because simply, you know, everything just, then suddenly you realize, when you start to work, you realize, oh, my chona machantas, there's really like, I haven't got a clue how much my parents spent on me, yeah? But the most amazing thing is, once you become the owner of that car, you look after that car, you check that car out, you wash the car every Saturday, because you're paying for that thing, okay? Why? Because ownership has transferred to you. Okay, if it's a loan, the bank still owns it, but you're still going to look after it, because if you smash it up, then there's going to be problems. But it's a question about ownership. And so Scripture says that there's somebody that has paid, somebody that has gone to the shop of life, somebody that came and stood at the counter and said, I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. Well, most other people would choose somebody else maybe, or a different one or whatever. Jesus came and he came to the earth and he said, I'm going to pay for that one and 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 that one. Okay, turn to somebody next to you. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of breath and say, and that one. Okay? Because simply there was an exchange. Somebody paid for your life. But he didn't pay with stuff that you can get on the earth. Somebody paid with his own life, and in a specific way. He had no sin. He was spotless, and he paid for your sins. He paid for my sins. Now, there's nobody else on this earth that did that for you. If you've never heard about the story about Jesus Christ coming, then I'm telling you, there's somebody that not just has paid for your life, but you know what? He can place a demand on your life. And that's something very simple. It's a demand called love. But that love results in a choice, because that choice makes you to decide whether you are going to give up ownership or whether you are going to retain ownership. You're going to keep it to yourself. And you're going to say, I'm going to still be in control. I'm going to, I don't know. Remember when I played tennis, I would always, I was so arrogant. I would say to God, God, you. And the Lord probably said to the cherubim, oh, how I love him. But let's wait a year or two. He's still in rebellion. But we're going to set him up. We're going to make sure. But you know, that's his love, because there's a precious blood of the Lamb. And that's why we're going to worship Jesus as the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the earth. God paid a price. People, God paid a price for you. God paid a price for you. I don't care what your whoever says that there's no God, that God doesn't exist. Well, they didn't pay a price for you. They don't have a demand on your mind and your body and who you are. They cannot place and tell you, make your choice. And lots of people are going to walk into your life here at Varsity and they're going to say, oh, God doesn't exist. Oh, no, that is just like whatever. But I tell you, only God can come to you and say, I love you unconditionally. I love you to the place of death, even if you reject me. Hello. Are you with me tonight? Okay. Lack of stuff. So I examine next and say, Chona machantas. Okay. So the first thing you need to realize is that there's a price, and that price has been paid in blood. The second thing, when we come to God, God wants us to be connected. Jesus calls it abiding. Okay, abiding is om in te wees, om connected te wees. Ek weet nie wat die Afrikaans is nie. Connected, okay? And he says this in John chapter 15. He says, abide in me and I in you. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Okay. This is quite a challenging scripture, because we all know that there's the vine, there's the branches, and the branches must be connected to the vine. Now, I went 12 o'clock last night into a very fancy little place there, and I just got myself a little vine. I don't know why the farmer got so upset when I cut it off, but I ran, you know? And then, that's just a joke, it's just a joke. Okay, I was like, what are the people doing? Okay, somebody, Andre, got me this, you know? But this is like branches and the vine. And so, for this, these little branches to be connected, it must be connected. There is no beginning and end. Wow, that's a revelation, eh? It's like, yeah. Now, what we do is we have this lifestyle. We come, and especially in a religious environment, what we do is we think it works like this. On Sunday, we're going to be connected. Wednesday night, after we've gone to Springboks. Now, for the first year, Springboks, it's not good for your health. But in any case, okay. But so, if this branch for one moment is disconnected, do you know what? It doesn't help you to try to fix it. Doesn't help you to try to sticky tape or to wondergum. Okay? If it's not connected, there is absolutely no life. It cannot bear fruit. And that is why, if we're very honest with ourselves, we see lots of people running around, even claiming to know Christ, but there's no fruit in their lives. And that's why John the Baptist said, if you want to repent, if you want to change your life, you must bear fruits worthy of that change, of that connectedness. And Jesus said, if you're going to connect with me, if you want to be my disciple, a disciple just means a follower of Christ, it means you need to be connected. You need to be like this little branch, and you need to just be a branch. Now, the branch doesn't wake up every morning and say, oh, I want to bear mangoes today. The branch just produces after its own kind. Would you agree with me? It's going to bear fruit as to what it is connected with. So very simply, if we're honest with ourselves, I'm going to tell you, don't stick around people that bear bad fruit, because it means they're not connected. Is that a revelation? No. It's a major revelation. Because what we want to do, we do live in a dualistic society. So we say, well, let's connect each other every week when we get spiritual, when we come connected. But do you know the only one that can connect you is Jesus Christ when you connect with Him, when He comes to live in you and you live in Him. That's what Scripture says there. And then He says, you're going to be my disciples and you're going to bear fruit. Things are going to change. You're not going to be perfect, because God doesn't look for perfection, but He's looking for your heart. He's looking for that connection. Well, you're not going to say, today I want to be a mango tree. Tomorrow I want to be a strawberry. I always wanted to be a strawberry. And then so in 3 weeks' time, no, I don't want to. I want to be my own branch. And then you run off and you go and do your own thing. No. Very simply, you need to be connected. Okay. Very simple. But Jesus said, if you want to have this place, if you want to be in Christ, it means that there's a constant place of where the life of God flows into you and the life of God flows out of you. Are you with me? Shake somebody next to you and say, I hope they made you sleep a lot if you're a first year. Okay. Because I know if I was a first year tonight and they you know, made me run around like they do some of you, I would have this opportunity as a great sleeping opportunity. But I've got news for you. You're not gonna be awake. It's one of the women said to me this morning, you've got too much energy. I said, I'm only in second gear. Don't tell me, okay? So we're only busy with the introduction. Okay. But listen to this, the last part. He says, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, it's called the word of God. You need the word of God inside of you. You need to live by the words of God. He says, you will ask what you desire. Because you know what begins to happen? Your desires begin to change to God's desire. It's not this worldly desire anymore. It's because you're connected, because you're beginning to see fruit. You're beginning to experience this massive adventure with God. And he says, then whatever you begin to ask, because it's connected with the Father's heart, it will be done for you. And he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So God comes and he says, and it almost feels like a contradiction. He says, it is finished, but you need to bear much fruit. So what do I need to do and what shouldn't I do? First, abide. First, get into the discipline of spending time with God. First, learn to know Him. And you start with that by being born again. Because why? Mangoes don't grow on vines, okay? Very simply, you need a change in nature. And that's why Jesus said, how you start is you become born again. Spiritually, you must become alive so that you're connected into the vine, and then you're going to begin to grow. Things are going to begin to happen. Jy gaan opstaan en say, wow, ek ken vir God. Ek weet wie hy is. Hy is my pa. Hy is ook my koning. Hy is ook die heerser van die heelal. He's in control of the universe. And you know, then it doesn't matter what comes against you, what you're afraid of. Do you know? He's for you. And then who can be against you? Not even your haka, your doop haka or anything. Okay, first is don't laugh so loud, okay? Because maybe your doop haka is sitting next to you. Okay. Just stare at them. Preach it, brother, preach it. Okay. So we need to abide. The third thing, if we want to know this life in God, is we need to live a life of obedience. And obedience is not something that's a set of rules that are placed on us. It flows just automatically and spontaneously out of an understanding of the heart of the person, the heart of our Father. Therefore, verse 18 in John chapter 15, it says, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him. Why did they want to kill Jesus? Because of one reason. Not because of all the miracles that he did, all of that stuff. Because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus coming to tell the people that there's a Father in heaven. Some of you have grown up in a house where it's just broken and your parents or divorced, and you just come out of such a negative place, and you just, when you think of a home, you just think like, whoa, I just want to run away. I want to tell you, I've got good news for you. That there's a Father in heaven that loves you so much. And that Father will do anything. He will give his best for you so that you can live, so that you can have a house. And that Jesus, his son, that came to die, said, I'm going to go away. And do you know what I'm going to do? There's one day in heaven, I'm going to build you a massive mansion. I'm going to build you a house where you're secure and where you're safe, where you have life. But not just one day in heaven. He says, I'm going to give it to you here on earth. But just trust me on this one. Just trust me. The Jews wanted to kill him because they realized religion is going to kill life. Religion is going to kill and renounce the Father heart of God. And so the fact that he was making himself Father, the fact that he was saying these things was really a challenge. And so he says, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Whoa. So if you want to know the Father's heart, you must just go and look at what Jesus did on the earth. He loved the sinners. He loved the broken. The woman that just was in prostitution. She spent all of her time sleeping around with lots of men. And then she comes and she takes that oil which she earned from sleeping with all these men. She comes into the presence. She hasn't got any protocol. She just runs into the presence of Jesus. She comes before him and then she wipes his feet with that oil with her hair. She begins to weep before him and just says, Jesus, I know you've got life. And then the Pharisee says, oh, if he was just a prophet, if only he knew was this, you know, oh, this woman, oh, contaminated sirens, sin in the house. Go ballistic, you know. Then the people that were religious, they were freaked out every time around Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was never intimidated by sin. He just says, come to me, all who are weary. Come to me, who are heavy laden. Come, I've got a picture. You're part of that picture. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to change it. Don't tear it up. Don't break it. Just come. Come and look at the picture of life. That's why I said in John 4 verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Whoa. That Jesus says, my food is to do the will of my Father. To release that grace to you, to bring that healing, to bring that deliverance, to set the captives free, to bring us to a place where we're no longer ashamed, where we don't need to be guilty. But you know, we've got the blood of Christ. We've got access to that Father because of what Christ has done. We connected into the vine and we don't spend time with God because we must, because we should, because we must be obedient. Just simply, if you understand his heart, you know, if you're in love with somebody, you're going to spend time with them hours into the night. Anybody that's been in love here? Wave at me. Sure, there are very few people that's been in love. Okay, all the girls, will you stand? We're going to connect right now. Let me say, make something happen. You're boring then if you're like, how many of you have ever been in love? Oh, yeah. But if you're in love, do you know what? You do crazy things. Would you agree? When I asked Louise out, oh my God, I did the most crazy things. And I was working as an accountant and then as an IT manager. And then I would come home and we would just sit there and stare at each other and say, And then it's like you see them for the first day, for the first time. I never forget, I tried to bake a cake just once in my life on her birthday. I did not know that if you open up the oven before the cake is done, you're going to have a flat cake, okay? Pancake, okay? Flatty flat. So what happened? I just opened it up like that and I realized and I saw half of the cake go like shh, and I close it up again. And I thought, okay, this is going to be good. I am going to make lots of icing sugar. Okay. So I just got this stuff. I phoned my mother. I said, icing sugar, okay. So I made like three times the icing sugar that you should. I got the cake out. But now the cake was standing like this, you know. So I built that cake. I felt like an engineer, you know. All accountants want to be an engineer one day. And all engineers want to be accountant one day. Okay. Okay. But it's amazing. So I built up that cake. I built it up. It was solid. It was a work of art. It was a work of perfection. I cut the part and gave the part to her that did not have a lot of icing on. The rest, I ate. Yeah, that thick layer, it was like a thick layer. Half the cake was this, half it was like this. You know? I ate icing, it came out of my ears. That night, I vomited for 5 hours. You know? But I tell you, it was the best cake that was ever baked in the whole of South Africa and the whole world. Okay? Oh, why are you laughing? You weren't there. You didn't taste it. Okay? But you know, that is the extent of what love does. Because you want to connect with the heart of the one that you love. Hello. There's overwhelmness. There's a place of just like, ah, ooh, ah. Yeah. And then the promise, once we begin to be obedient to God, it says that there's a place of yieldedness. It says in John chapter 14, most assuredly, I say to you, you believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7, he says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. So Jesus said, I must go away, because Jesus gave us something. Jesus gave us the person of the Holy Spirit. And he said, do you know what? I'm going to make sure that if you step into this relationship with me, are you going to be connected in the vine, not just are you going to be able to do this perfect obedience thing to God because I give you a grace to do it, but I'm going to make you walk this life where you're going to know the heart of the Father and you're going to begin to reveal it to the world around you. You're going to begin to step into people's lives and their lives are going to begin to change. You're going to begin to know that this Holy Spirit, I must go away, Jesus said, because he's going to make you do greater things. You're going to go on this life and you're going to begin to experience, wow, when you take your hands and you lay it on the sick, they get healed. When you pray for somebody, they get delivered. When God gives you something and you can... So all our job just becomes is very simply, we don't change the picture. But you know what your job becomes? Is you just go to somebody and you go to the world and you say, oh, I want to show you something. Okay, no, it's not a nice picture, Marika. But just pretend that it's nice. Okay. Go, wow. Okay, you've got it. Okay, do it again. Wow, okay, that's it. But do it like you mean it.
Wow.
Okay, yes, she's so good at it. This is good at it. Okay, Yakumin, try.
See us, wow.
Okay, I've just asked all the arty people. Let's ask some of the men here.
Wow.
Yes, that's, come on, Mike, do it from, let's show academia how you can do it.
Yetta.
Yetta. Sure, he's cool, eh? He's cool. And he's single. Okay, but anyway, so the most amazing thing is what we begin to do is we begin to walk into people's lives and we begin to show them that there's a picture, there's a finished work of Jesus Christ, and there's a part that you can play in it. There's something that you can do. But it's only because you connect, only because there's like a massive puzzle and you're like that little piece in that puzzle, but you know what? It's called purpose, God's purpose. It's called the fact that God chooses you and he says, you're not just going to be a washout and you can't add to anything that I'm doing. But as you're going to begin to experience this life, you're going to begin to know me. You're going to begin to know my heart. I was at a camp with school kids and it was just so amazing, you know, when you're young and you're like open and your heart is really like searching. And this one little guy, I'm not going to mention his name, but he just came to the front and he just started to weep, you know. And the Lord gave me a word for him. He said, do you know what? Your life is in a mess. Relationships is in a mess. But you know, God is going to raise you up as a father. And he just started to break. He just started to cry. He just started to weep, because for the first time, he knew that there was a God in heaven. I'll never forget it. He came afterwards and he says, "You weird. You are so weird," he says. "How did you know all of those things?" I said, "No, it's just God's heart for you." He says, "You're still weird." Yeah? So he's standing with all of these friends and we're standing in this little circle, and there was another guy that came, and I said to that guy, "I'm going to pray for you." So afterwards, this guy came and he's like great dead and he's standing there, you know. And so I says, "I'm going to pray." Now all the other guys just say, "Oh, let's go away." And I said, "No, come and stand here. Let's pray for this man. Let's pray for this guy." And so I begin to pray, and I say, and the Lord gives me a picture. He says, "Well, I just see a picture of a man running a 100-meter race, and God is standing at the end of the finish line." He says, "Just come on, I'm cheering you on. You're going to make it. You're not running for the world. You're not running to try and impress your dad. You're running for me." And then this other guy said again, he started to burst out. He started just to laugh. He says, "Dylan, did you tell him? Did you tell him?" And he shakes Dylan. He says, "Did you tell him?" He says, "No, I didn't tell him anything." He looks at me, he says, "You're weird." Because Dylan is Paul Boyzai's sprinter. He runs 100-meter races. And so God comes and he says, "Dylan, I love you. Dylan, I know what you're doing. Dylan, there's a picture. I finished the work. But you're either going to try to do it for yourself, you're going to try on your own strength, or you're going to let me do it. You're going to let me come into this relationship of obedience where I begin to discover your heart. But it's going to cost you something, Dylan. You need to repent. You need to step off the throne of your life and you need to say to me, 'God, I'm going to do it your way.'" We're going to show you one video clip of a father that sacrificed his son. And you and I are on that train. Some of you may have seen it. And we're going to pray for each other afterwards. We're going to pray that God will open up our hearts. And as we're going to start to show that, I'm going to pray. Father, I pray that right now, Lord, your conviction will come. Not for us to do little things for you, God, but to know the Father's heart, God. And I pray, God, for every broken person here tonight that are in need of a Savior. Everyone that's drowning here tonight, God, that is going under. Maybe they don't even know it. I pray, God, that you will break every pride, because we humble ourselves before you. Because, God, it's only the blood of Jesus that has paid a price for us. And it's precious. We cannot exchange anything for it. So the only thing we can do tonight, Lord, is just come back to you and say thank you. Thank you that you died, Jesus. Thank you that you gave your life. Thank you that, God, even if I would reject you on that cross, you would still come all the way. You would still die just for me. You would still just die for every person here tonight. Lord, thank you that there's not one that is not worthy to come to you tonight, whose sins you want to wash away and make them perfect before you, so that we can have a relationship with the living God. Thank you, Lord, that we can abide in Christ. Tonight we want to step into the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus finished the work and he said, "There's nothing you can add. There's a choice." And you and I have that freedom, because scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where those who the Son has set free is free indeed. You don't need to be a slave. Because you and I were sitting on that train. Maybe you're lonely here tonight. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe there's a lot of stuff. Jesus said he came specifically for you. He said those who need a physician, said he came for the sick. But when you come to the doctor, don't tell the doctor what you have and how he should cure you and what should happen. Just surrender. Just trust the doctor. Don't come with all your pills running to the doctor and you say, these are the 7 pills I'm supposed to drink, doctor. Otherwise, you don't need the doctor. Maybe tonight you don't realize that you actually need a doctor. Because you're lonely and I'm lonely and we are without God. Scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Will you stand with me tonight as we're gonna pray and we've laughed together and we've cried together and we've done all these things. But all I'm doing tonight is I'm holding a picture before you, the picture that every knee one day will bow and every tongue will confess before this Jesus and say, Jesus, you are truly alive. Jesus, you truly live. And you know, in our intellectual pride, we say, there is no God. But have you seen the mess that the world is in? Almost half of the 50% of the world is at war, killing each other. Some of your families are at war, killing each other emotionally. If ever there was a time for you and I that we need God, it's now. If ever there was a time in our nation that we need God, it is now. And we think that with our intellect, we think with our fancy technology that we're going to solve the world. Tomorrow there's just going to be another dictator. Tomorrow there's going to be just, tomorrow the wind's just going to change again. Until you begin to see the picture of God, until you begin to stand, doesn't matter what storm comes around you, you have the Prince of Peace. It's not something you try to psych up. It's because you know Him. You're connected. There's life flowing in you. There's life flowing through you. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He's here to save us tonight. He's here to deliver us. He's here to set us free. So I want everybody to close their eyes. Father, thank you that you paid the ultimate price through your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to die for us so that we can live. There's nothing tonight, God, we can put on the table except then just to respond, to make a choice. And we want to choose life because we've realized tonight that you love us so much. Lord, we don't want to add to this picture. We don't want to bring our paintbrush tonight and say, God, just if you do it like this, then I'm going to do it like that, God. No, no, Father, your work has been finished. Your forgiveness is complete. We just need to come and stand under the cross and receive it. And thank you, Lord, I come against every lie, every condemnation tonight that wants to hold people away and say, no, they must go and fix their lives at home. But I pray, God, that people's lives will flash before them. They begin to realize eternity in our hearts, eternity right here. So if you're here tonight, you're far from God. Maybe you've made a commitment at a camp, but you just know tonight that you haven't got a clue where you're going. You don't know who you are. You don't know whose you are. You've never connected with God as a father. You don't know how to get there, and God feels distant, this old man with the stick, or maybe you've gone to church all your life, but you know what? It's not going to change anything unless you come to stand before the picture. You begin to say, Lord, the cross has complete the work of Christ, has complete the work of God. There's nothing I can add to it except then enter, except then say yes and receive the most greatest gift, and that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. I'm going to ask you to stick up your hand right where you are and say, I want to respond to that life. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I want you to stick your hand. Thank you at the back. Just quickly. If that's you tonight, I want you to raise your hand. There's another hand going up. I want you to raise your hand very high. While every believer is praying, because this is why we're here. We're here to tell people. We're here to just bring them the picture, and God convicts, God changes. Maybe you've made a commitment, but you've just backslidden. You're just so far from God. You just don't know. You're trying. Then you're on the throne. Then Jesus is on the throne. Then you're back on the throne. Then Jesus is on the throne again. I want you to raise your hand very high and say, that's me. I want to come to Him. I want Him to change me. I'm not going to try to change myself. It's not by me trying to be fancy. Thank you, thank you. There's lots of hands going up. I want you to raise it very high. Because tonight, that Jesus is going to change you. Tonight, He's not just going to change you. He's going to give you life. He's going to say, come, I forgive you. I wash you clean. I'm going to show you who you are. I'm going to start to walk this road with you. And there's some people here, you've fallen into pornography. You've fallen into cycles of stuff. And you just feel so bad and you think like, what are the people going to say? I'm especially talking to you tonight because that's why He shed His blood, so that you can have life. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand very high. Just raise it with the rest so that we're not going to put shame on anybody. Just quickly, quickly raise your hand. Just quickly, quickly, because we're going to pray a prayer with you. And it's going to be a profound prayer. It's going to be a prayer from your heart. We're going to say to Jesus, Jesus, here I am. Take my life. Take everything, God. I want to live for you. I want to live for you. There's lots of hands going up, and we're going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask you to do something very bold now. If you've raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to walk out from where you are. If you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand next to you and say, look here, I need to be in front because this is like eternity here. This is like the biggest choice of my life. And there's like a gift here. I'm going to go and get it. It's not from that little shorty in front. I'm going to get it from Jesus Himself. That's salvation. Hallelujah. You raise your hand. I want you to come out quickly. If you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand next to you and say, look here, excuse me. please get out of my way. I don't want to be rude, but I need to be in front. I want you to come quickly. I want you to come and stand right here. Come and stand right here on my right hand side. Just come and face me. There's a little black line if you want to come and stand on there. I want you to come quickly. Doesn't matter what sin you've done. Doesn't matter how far you are from God. Doesn't matter where you've come from, what your pedigree is. If you want to pray this prayer, I want you to stand right in front, okay? In front. There's a little black line. Maybe we must step onto this black line. Come. Staan die wilgenoffers. Lekker, lekker. Okay, quickly. If you want to pray this prayer, I want you to stand in front. Not at the back because you're not second class. I want you to stand. What is your name? Okay, if you want to pray this prayer, I want you to stand right in front. Stand in front, stand in front, stand in front, stand in front, stand in front. If you still need to be in front, I want you to come quickly. I want you to come quickly. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. I want you, if there's somebody next to you that you don't know, I want you just to ask them. Just turn to them respectfully and say, hey, do you want to go with me to the front? Maybe you're a bit shy. Do you want to go? I'll go with you. Okay? Just ask somebody next to you. Because maybe there's somebody that's a bit shy or they don't feel like, whoa, you know, this is like too heavy for them. Well, just turn to somebody next to you and say, hey, will you just be met tonight? But do you want to go with me? Because are you sure of your salvation? Do you know Jesus as the Savior of your soul? Do you know Him as the one who's painted the picture of your life? And He comes to redeem our lives from destruction. He comes to take us out of darkness. See, there's still lots of people come. Come ask everybody around you. Don't, you know, you've got a mouth. Just ask them, you know. We don't need to be like super spiritual about this. We're going to just say, God, here we are. Take our lives. I went on my knees the 4th of April, 1989. I want you to go with me as we're going to pray a simple prayer. A simple prayer of just surrender. There's some more people coming. Let's just give them applause as they're coming. I just want to tell you that God loves you so much. Do you know that? What's your name? Heavenly Blowim. Chris, are you English speaking, Chris? Frequence. Chris, weet jy dat die Here jou so lief? Weet jy dit? Yes. Isn't that amazing, eh? Dat God ons lief het. What's your name? Michael. What's your name? Karen? Your tears are over, eh? Your tears are over. The times of just trying and struggling and all of that stuff, it's over, eh? Tonight, Jesus is going to wash you clean. Tonight, Jesus is going to take away all that accusation, all that stuff. There's been people that has been speaking stuff over your life. They've been like coming into your life and they've just been saying to you, you're worthless, you're a nothing. I cancel that over your life tonight. I cancel that, Karen, because you're beautiful to God. And today, Jesus' blood has paid a price for you. All that stuff. And there were specifically men that has come into your life and they've just like that. They've treated you as dirt, and I just want to say sorry, because God will never do that to you. God will never violate. God will never bring fear in your life. And He just says, Karen, you're beautiful to Him. He's going to give you a new life tonight. Amen. And never, never. All these burdens, they're carrying lots of burdens, but He's going to wash it. He's going to wash you clean tonight. That's just what Jesus does. What's your name? Shannon. Chanel. Oh, He loves you so much, eh? You can already feel Jesus beginning to lift those stuff from you. He's beginning to take away all those burdens, okay? You never need to be afraid. You've been very afraid, okay? But tonight He's just saying He's going to give you life. What's your name? Kanya. Kanya, we're crying right now. But you know what? We're going to laugh tonight because of God's rejoicing over your life. And it's a simple prayer. I'm going to go on my knees. If you want to join me, do that. If you can't, it's fine, but I'm going to just pray a prayer and I want you to pray with me. It's a simple prayer of surrender. I want all of us to go on our knees if you can. This is a holy moment when we just invite the Lord into our lives. Say, Jesus, we give you free reign. I'm going to pray, and if you want to pray after me, you can use your own words. It's not about the words, it's about the heart. Jesus, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I repent, Lord, of trying to save myself, trying to fix myself, and being in control of my life. Thank you that you're good, that you died. Lord, wash me clean tonight of all of my sin. change my life and give me a new life. Lord, I surrender everything to you, to your life. Come and live inside of me. Thank you, Lord, that I can step into relationship with you. That tonight, I can be connected into the vine. Thank you that I can live for eternity. And teach me what it means, Lord, to be your child. Thank you for a new inheritance. Thank you for a new life. Everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Tonight my life has become new in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you show me and teach me as I become a disciple of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. We just give a shout in this place to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. I mean, you can stand again if you want. There's somebody behind you that's going to just take your hand. They're going to give you some information. Now, guys, we need to be sharp and we need to be quick, okay? Because some of these, how many? Just tell one of those facilitators if you need to be back at 8 o'clock so that they don't keep you till after 8 o'clock. Some of the first years, if you've got some more time, then hang around. The service has only started, okay? So we're gonna simply, what's your name? Douglas. Douglas? Do you know God loves you, Douglas? Yeah. And I just saw you standing on the mountain. God has just taken you to the mountain, okay? You love nature and you love stuff like that, but just go. God wants to show you. He wants to give you eyes to see him, okay? You go for that, Douglas. Okay, what are we going to do? We're going to quickly go that way. There where Vainanti's standing. Just if you want to turn to your right. But guys, we need to be quick, with especially if there's first years, okay? I don't know. What time must you guys be back? Must you be back at 8? Or have you got some extra time? Just tell somebody that's going to pray with you. Before you leave, I want you to go, listen quickly, everybody standing in front. I want you to go and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you don't have a Bible, the facilitator behind you will give you his Bible, okay? And they're going to pray with you. I want you to go and read those scriptures. And then listen quickly, shh, everybody. I want you to go, and the first three people that you meet once you've left this building, I want you to go and tell them, go and SMS them as to what you did tonight. You have to start to confess immediately. Tonight, God has changed your life and you become a witness for him. You just take the picture and you begin to show them, tonight, Jesus changed my life, okay? Then you need to slot into a group of people that are like-minded, that can help to walk a road with you, a small group. And God has sent you here, so I believe this is the place where it must be. Otherwise, you would have made this commitment somewhere else. But this is the divine place, and we're going to love you as a family. So you need to slot yourself in, and then you need to get baptized. That's what Scripture says. Okay, so quickly, if you want to turn to your right, just quickly go there to that door. We're not going to keep you for long. Let's just give them a round of applause as we go. If you're here tonight, and you are trapped by fear, maybe your first year and there's just so much stuff and you really don't have a clue, but there's like these cycles of fear in your life and you just like, you feel so intimidated by this car that's driving and the doors are open and you're going to feel like you're going to fall out of the doors. We want to pray with you. I want you to quickly come to the front because we'd love to pray with you. And then there's some people that you love Jesus. You can have a great relationship with Jesus, but when it comes to this father part, when it comes to this thing of relationships, you just have these cycles of breakdown in relationships. It means that every time you come to the place, you know, of wanting to surrender, of wanting to, you know, it's just like, you know, everything just falls apart. You just have cycles of breakdown, cycles of relational breakdown. And we want to pray for you. We want to pray that God will restore you, that God will show you the picture of his heart, that you will be able to bear fruit, because you know in your life there's just barrenness, there's just cycles of lust, there's cycles of stuff, and it's just coming against you all the time. I want you to quickly come to the front because we want to pray with you, especially people that really struggle to connect with the Father's heart of God. I want you just come quickly, come quickly, quickly. And then there's three people here specifically. There are three people here. I want you to listen very carefully. There are three people here that have lost the desire to live. Okay? There's one specific girl here, just in your 20s, and it's just like like this week, you wanted to give up. You just wanted to let go of just the ability to live. You just like say, oh, I just can't anymore. I actually want to take my life. Now I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. I'm going to ask those three people to quickly come out because I want to pray for you. God is going to set you free tonight. We're going to pray for you right here. I want you to come quickly. Quickly, those three people. I want you to come. It's going to feel like a long walk, but God is going to set you free. I want you to come quickly, quickly. Just come. If that's you, tonight there's just like these massive demonic assignments against you. And the Lord wants to set you free. And I don't want to embarrass you. I know everybody's like looking around and all of that stuff. But tonight we're going to pray that God will just give you that life. Where are those people? I want you to quickly come. If you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand. I know it's that there's just a weegskaal and everything feels that it's going to tip at the moment in your life. And the Lord wants to just break that death thing over your life. Why don't you just come quickly? I want you to come. I want you to come. Okay, we're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. Why don't you come quickly? Just come. I know there's somebody, that lady, there's like a massive war going on in your soul. We don't want to embarrass you, but I want you to come quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you deliver us from all evil. You deliver us from all fear. And tonight, Lord, you're the one that has life in your hands and that you give us life. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to come quickly. If that's you, I'm not gonna hold it anymore because we don't want to embarrass you. But I know you need to come. That lady specifically, you need to come tonight because God wants to set you free. God wants to give you that life. We're not afraid. We don't have these dreams anymore. But you can just step up and you can say, God, I thank you. I thank you, Father. I want you to come quickly. Is that you? Or are you coming for something else? Is that you? Thank you for the boldness. I want you to come and stand here because we're going to pray over your life. There's two more people. I want you to come. This is serious. We're taking our time because do you know what? Only Jesus has life in his hands. And we don't play games. We're not here to play church. Jesus came to set the captives free. He's come to deliver us. I want those other two people, I want you to come quickly. Father, right now we thank you, Father, for the desire to live. And we break every lie of death and every fear of death. And thank you, Father, for this lady, Lord, that is beautiful to you, Father. And right now we pray that you will lift the cycles and the curses over her life, Father, and that you'll set her free. That she'll be like a bird, Lord, that can fly again. Lord, when she was 7 years old and 9 years old, Lord, she always imagined that she can be a bird and just fly away, Father. Those times when she was just like, wanted to fly away, she just wanted to escape, Father. But thank you tonight, Father, that you're going to make her into a different bird, God. A bird that is free, God, that flies to you, Father. Somebody, Lord, that you bring to the place, Lord, where you take away the sting of death, God. And tonight, Lord, we come against the sting of death. We say, death, you have no sting. Death, you have no authority over her anymore. God, there's been like cycles and cycles of death that has been assigned against her, Father. But thank you tonight that we say, devil, let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. Let her go, Lord. Right from there, Lord, let her go. Lord, she will not be intimidated anymore. She will not, Lord, be lied to anymore. She will not, Lord, wanting to come to the cycle where she feels she's standing in the corner, God, and everything is pressing against her and it feels like the walls are going to collapse, Lord. But thank you tonight, Lord, just for her freedom, Lord. We release your freedom, Father, especially in her mind. Thank you for this man, Father. Right now, we break the cycles of shame and death over him, God. And thank you, Father, tonight, Lord, that there's worth on his life because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that there's life, Lord, in Jesus, Lord. And tonight we release your life over him. Father, all those words that were spoken over him, God, that he'll never amount to anything, God, that he'll just be a failure. We break those lies tonight, Father. And we lift the shame. We lift the shame and the cycles of shame in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that release right now. We thank you for that release right now. And Father, we thank you for this lady. We thank you, God. She's lost, Lord, just that feeling, Lord. She hasn't cried for a while, Father. She hasn't cried, Lord, because she just likes, everything says to her that she must just survive, Lord. But thank you tonight, God, that you begin to stir in her heart again, Lord, because God, you're making her mother, God. You're giving her a heart, Lord, to care for the children, God. And Lord, it's always been like this, Lord, that the children has been running away from her, God, because they were so afraid. And she always thought that children doesn't like her. But even this week, Lord, begin to show her how much, Lord, you have opened her heart, Father. Thank you. We speak life, Lord. We speak life, Lord. No more death, no more lies, no more stuff, Lord, that holds her back, Lord. And even those things, Lord, those reports that always came back, Lord. She was so afraid, she wanted to hide God when the reports came back, Lord, because she never felt good enough. But thank you tonight, Father, for your life. Thank you for your Father's heart over her, and that you make her, Lord, to be a good wife and a good husband, a good mother one day, God. Thank you for your life. We said husband there. Father, we just believe that in Jesus' name. If you're sick in your body, if you need to go, we're going to continue now with the service. If you're a first year here and you need to go, I want you to just don't say a word. I want you just to quickly slip out. We're going to worship the Lord now, and we're going to keep on. The Holy Spirit is ready here to just deliver us, to set us free. But if you need to go, won't you just quickly slip out and say, look here, excuse me. I'm going to see you next Sunday. Fani and Arnu is going to share their testimony. They're Olympic gold medalists. They're going to share their testimony here next Sunday morning, Sunday evening. So bring all your friends with, all the first years. But if you need to go, I want you to quickly go while we just stand. Don't chat to anybody. Don't chat if you need to go. Just leave. Just leave quickly. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you and make His face shine upon you. He loves you so much. Amen. If you need to go. I want to also pray for people. This is very simply. This is the cycle in your life. Okay, we want to pray for you. There's a cycle of barrenness. And it's not about the sin tonight. It just doesn't feel to you that you produce fruit. Okay? It's always like the fruit comes and then it falls to the ground. It's just pop fruit. Okay? It's never there for export quality. And there's actually an assignment against you. And tonight, God is just going to do a little shift in your mind. He needs to renew your mind as to how you see Him. He doesn't want to strike you dead and judge you and all that stuff. But if you know that there's cycles of barrenness, you love Jesus, all that stuff, but every time when you walk out the door, your life falls apart. You need to just come to that place where you say to God, God, I want to enter into this finished work of Christ. I want to start to abide in You. And it's just so difficult, especially when it comes to discipline, to just spend time with God, to just pray. You always feel unspiritual. If that's you tonight, I want you to quickly come out because we're going to pray for you. We're going to break a cycle of barrenness because it's not just over you, it's over your family. Every time they commit, it falls to the ground. Every time you want to put your hands to something, it just... And it's just these cycles and cycles of just brokenness and cycles of just destruction and cycles of failure. I want you to come out quickly. I want you to stand in front because we're going to pray a prayer of faith over you. We're going to pray that God will release the heavens over you. And we're going to announce God's favor, and especially in relationships. Every time you come, you put your hand to something, it just like fails, and everything in your life says you're a failure. We're going to pray God's life over you. We're going to pray God's peace over you. We're going to speak God's words over you. I want you to come quickly. I want you to come quickly. I want you to stand right in front, because God does not want you to walk ashamed. God does not want you. If you're a child of God, you don't need to be a slave. You don't need to be sin-focused. You don't need to be self-focused. And God is smiling over you. God is just like saying, come. I want to give you that life. I want you to come quickly. I want you to come quickly. Just come. If God is speaking to you, we're going to pray a prayer of faith over you. And we're going to release. We're going to release that. Can we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus? And then we're going to pray that God will turn it around in our hearts as we're going to come to Him, as we're going to say, God, we want Your life. And if you're sick in your body, won't you come right to the front, because we're going to pray for you. Jesus still heals. He's never changed. Father, right now, Lord, we come against every veil that struggles to see You for who You really are. And Lord, tonight we break every yoke of a slavery mentality when it comes to relationships, when it comes to producing fruit, when it comes, Lord, just to being a blessing, Father. And Lord, every time when those fruit fall to the ground, Lord, even just before it's plucked, Lord, it's like a cycle of fruit falling and pop vruchte, Here, but then afval, and Lord, and then it's just like worth nothing, God. There's no export quality. But Lord, right now, we break the cycles of Your people's minds, especially, Lord, every lying spirit, every lying thing, Lord, every accusation over relationships that says they will not, they cannot, they will never. Lord, those words, we cancel it, Lord. And tonight we hold the picture, the finished work of Jesus, we hold it before Your people, God. And we thank You right now that we can break these cycles, Lord. And Lord, we say these people will produce fruit. They will produce life. Lord, even when it feels like nothing, Lord, there will be life. And we release the life of God over Your people here tonight. We release, Lord, and we break those cycles, Lord, of feeling unspiritual, Lord, of running away, Lord. But we thank you tonight as we come, Lord, to decide to follow you, Lord, that there's a grace to do that. Lord, we thank you that tonight there's a line in the sand that you're drawing, and we're crossing that line because of your invitation, not because of our goodness. Lord, we stop trying. We stop trying, Lord. But we thank you tonight. All we're connecting, Lord, is to the vine. We're connecting to the vine, and we ask that you will let it flow, Lord, those life-giving streams in us and through us. In Jesus' name. Lord, give us dreams. We release dreams and visions and the prophetic, Father. We release the fullness of your life over your people here in Jesus' name. There's some people here that has been praying, and you've been praying it for a while. You've been praying, Lord, I want to be passionate for you. Lord, I want to be passionate for you. And just seems like it doesn't happen. But you want, you just have this big desire to be passionate for God. Okay, that's been a specific prayer in your life. I want you to quickly come out and come and stand right here in front. Because we're going to pray that God will stir that. It's been a hot desire for you. We just say, God, no limitations, no stuff. But you've been praying that prayer. You say, God, I just want more. And you've been praying it in the last week or 2 weeks. God has been speaking specifically to you and say, you need to be passionate for him. And then what happens every time is you look back to yourself. And this is a word for specific people here tonight. God is going to stir that passion. I want you to come and stand on the red line prophetically. Okay. Red line is fire. Okay. So I want you guys to stand on that side. Stand on this red line right to the point there. Okay. And you just say, God, there's a red line on this side as well if you want to stand over there. But everybody on the red line, okay, we're going to pray a prayer because it's not about our emotions. It's not about stirring it up. It's the Holy Spirit that comes underneath our wings, okay? And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit just to do it, okay? Don't try anything. Don't run around. Don't be fundamental, okay? There's a red line on this side as well. Some people are going all the way that side, okay? You're going to have a specific blessing because you're alone on this side, okay? You just want to be passionate for God, and we're going to pray that. We're going to ask God just to answer your prayer, okay? It's everybody on the red line, okay? Everybody on the red line. Princess, the queen of shofar. Okay, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? You just want, it's not like we're not going to ask God to pour out his spirit again or anything like that. It's not like going to be an emotional thing. It's just a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, okay? We're going to say, God, help us to stir up the gifts inside of us. And we're going to just lay hands on you. We're going to just say, Father, stir that passion. Lord, release your dreams. There's some people here that has been asking for the prophetic. You want to really move in the gifts of God. And what we're going to do is we're going to just walk through. We're going to lay hands on you. I want you to quickly come out and stand on this side. Especially for like the prophetic. You want to see dreams. You want to see visions. You've been asking God to move in the supernatural. The passionate people are standing here. The supernatural prayer people are going to stand over here. And the couple of passionate people. Okay. So we're going to just pray. We're going to lay hands on you because Scripture says that as leaders we can lay hands on you. And we're going to ask God just to stir what is already. I want you to stand on the red line, okay? All those people that have been praying, you've been praying specific prayers of, Lord, I want the supernatural in my life. Lord, I don't want to go on as I've been used to going. Okay, and this is not like try to do something. This is simply we're going to say to the Holy Spirit, yes. Yes, Lord, your promises are yes and amen. But only those people that have been praying that prayer, okay? Because it's just, we're going to just trust God that he's going to answer the prayer in your life, okay? Okay, I want no facilitators to pray yet. I don't want the facilitators to pray. We're going to just lay hands on people.